Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Lamed Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins four lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Hei Omid Beis. As you are quite familiar, we're learning in our Gemara markings recorded shiurim in the context of the Daf Yomi cycle. With regard to today's shiur, in all likelihood at this point, we will be combining Daf Lamed Zayin together with Daf Lamed Vov. So take note of the topic heading that you see on the side of the Gemara. You might notice that we indicate that this sukkia, this discussion goes to Lamed Ches, Omid Aleph. We have entitled this sukkia, Heter Mitztaref Le'isur. This concept is very unusual. The Torah mentions various items that are forbidden to consume, and the quantity of the forbidden item, generally speaking, is an Aleph quantity. In the case of a nozir, so we know that the vine products, wine and grape-related items, are forbidden to consume. The minimum amount to be considered guilty would be an olive quantity. Heter, mitzaref le'isur, means that even if you have less than an olive quantity of forbidden material, but combined with allowed material, you would have an olive quantity. So you have a combination of, we'll say, majority of prohibited plus allowed combined into one unit, and you eat that, you will be in violation. That's heter, that which is permitted is mitztaref, combines with the isur to create the minimum prohibited quantity. We'll see examples of that as we get into the Gemara itself. But what's unique is that in this case you don't have the minimum amount of prohibited substance, and still one will be in violation. We continue on in our note on the side, Od Inyonim Shiyuzkeru. There are other principles that will be mentioned throughout this sugya. Very significant principles that appear in many different places throughout the Shas, and you find them concentrated in our sugya. You have the concept of Kizayis Bechtei Achilas Pras, that involves a minimum amount of time in which to consume a kezias, an olive quantity. For argument's sake, the time of kidei achilas pras would be 4 minutes. That means that while you are eating some food, and mixed into the food is forbidden food, if while eating the food, in the course of 4 minutes, you also end up consuming an olive quantity of the forbidden material mixed in, that would be considered a Torah violation of eating that which is prohibited. Another concept that we will encounter, ta'am ki'ikr, where you have the mere taste of something prohibited is considered as if it's the original substance itself. We'll see examples of that in the Gemara as well. Imagine if you were to take some grapes and soak them in water, and you drink a revius of water that has the taste of grapes in it. You don't have actual grape substance, just the taste has been absorbed in the water. That would be a violation if you hold ta'am, the taste, ki'ikr, is like the original prohibited substance. Another concept that we will encounter, noisein ta'am lifgam. It's a prohibited taste that's gone bad. Lifgam meaning negative. By way of structure, we've already indicated that the sugya at hand will continue to daf lamed chesom and aleph, and you see a crown shape around Rabbi Avo and a firebox around Rabbi Yochanan. So the crown shape you see under our mivne heading, Rabbonim shenoktu emda beinyan heter mitzdarav liser. These are rabbis that have taken a position regarding this topic of the permitted joins up with the prohibited to complete the minimum shiur. The value in our firebox marking, that won't be realized immediately, but until you get till daf lamed ches omid aleph, three lines from the top, there we will make reference to Shitas Reb Elazar. Interestingly, there Reb Elazar is quoted also by Rabbi Avohu, and when we get there, we'll have a chance to comment on the contrast between Reb Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan over here. Now, let us take a look at the text of the Gemara itself. On Daf Lamed Heomid Beis, four lines from the bottom at the end of the line, Omar Rabbi Avohu, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Isurin Shebet Torah. With regard to all prohibited food items in the Torah, Ein Heter Mitztaref LeIsur, Chutz MeIsurei Nozir. This idea that the allowed would join with the forbidden doesn't exist except within the realm of items, food prohibited to the Nozir. Sharei Omra Torah, in the case of Nozir, it says in Bamidbar Perek Vav Pasuk Gimel, Mishras. The Gemara here quotes only one word from the Pasuk. The entire Pasuk, you can see, we've quoted on the side of our marked Gemaras. The Pasuk reads, Miyayin v'sheichor yozir, choymetz yayin v'choymetz sheichor lo yishteh. The Nozir is warned to avoid wine and wine vinegar. And the pasuk goes on to say, "V'chol mishras anovim lo yishteh, v'anovim lachim v'yaveshim lo yochel." So in this pasuk, you see "V'chol mishras anovim." The word "mishras" has to be with soaking. What do we have in mind when we say soaking? So we mentioned before that would be a case where you take, let us say, a piece of bread and soak it in wine, and the nozir would eat it. If you have wine combined with the bread, equaling an olive quantity, that would be a nozir violation. So what have we said? You soaked bread. Now, bread is permitted to a nozir, but you soaked it in wine. The majority will assume for right now is the wine, but you don't have an olive quantity of wine in the bread. Only together with the bread do you have the minimum prohibited amount. With regard to a nozir, this is prohibited. Now, we turn to Daf Lamed Vav of an Aleph. Immediately at the top you see a bracketed section. The reason for the brackets is the point mentioned right after them, where the Gemara says, five lines from the top, Yosef Ravdimi v'komar lo lahashmaitza. Ravdimi was seated and he was saying Rabbi Yochanan's teaching of heter mitzaref le'isur existing only within the realm of nozir. The Gemara will challenge that with Eisvei Abaye. So that according to the Tosfos commentary, Abaye's question is focused on that which Rabbi Yochanan said. And that's why we skipped the interim passage to show the direct connection. Well, that having been said, we turn to the top line where we see another crown shape. And in our original Mivneh heading, we noted that these are Rabbonim. The Rabbonim that you see in the crown shape are relating to the topic of Heter Mitzaref Le'isor. On the side, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Machloike Ziri Vabai Im Shi'ur Isur Haktora Se'or Hu Bekezayis O Afilu Bepochos. We are going to note in this bracketed section that there is a disagreement between Zir and Abaye regarding the minimum prohibited amount regarding offering on the altar of the Beis HaMikdash, the Temple Mizbeach, a substance called Seor. Seor is sourdough. It's highly fermented dough. If you want to refer to it as super chometz, so be it. It's very fermented. There's a prohibition of offering on the Mizbeach that substance. He calls Seor v'chol dvash lo satiru. We have a note, before we read the Gemara, a note on the side, on the other side, the inside margin. We've called it Heter Mitzaref Le'isur. Number one, Rabbi Yochanan, Isur Nozir. Rabbi Yochanan says this concept of Heter Mitzaref Le'isur is unique, restricted to the realm of Nozir. Ziri, he will say, Sa'or Bal Taktiru. The prohibition of offering Sa'or on the Mizbeach. Let us say you have an item where you don't have an olive quantity of Sa'or, but combined with non-fermented dough, you will have a total of an olive quantity, and you put that on the altar. According to Ziri, one will be in violation of the pasuk that we referred to before, Kol Seor v'chol dvash lo satiru, the prohibition of sacrificing, of offering on the Mizbeach, Seor. So even though you don't have the minimum quantity of a kezias, the Seor combined with non-fermented dough, a total of a kezias, would lead to a violation of lo satiru, of not offering. Another example of Heter Mitzaref Le'isur, according to Ziri, we will see, involves Chometz BePesach. Chometz, fermented dough on Pesach, if you have less than a kezias of Chometz, but combined with something else, you will have a total of an olive quantity. According to Ziri, that would constitute a Pesach violation. Abaye mentions the concept of Heter Mitzaref Le'isur with regard to, we'll say, all Isurim. Where that becomes manifest, we'll have to clarify that point when we get into the Gemara. That having been said, we go now to the top line. Ziri Omar, Af Seor Beval Taktiru. Even Seor, the sourdough, when placed on the Mizbeach, less than an olive quantity, but done so together with other, we'll say, non-forbidden substance vis-a-vis the Mizbeach, equaling a total of a kezias, that would be a violation of the pasuk we mentioned before, kol so'or v'chol dvash lo saktiru. The expression bal taktiru, bal means do not, like the word lo, do not offer. Keman, Ziri's teaching is based on which Tanaic authority? Kerebi Elozar. the Dorish Kol. In the pasuk we just cited, it said Kol Sa'or. And Rebbe Lozer happens to say his point with regard to chometz on Pesach, where even if you have chometz in a mixture form, where you would pull out of a chometz mixture an olive quantity, and in that mixture you don't have a pure olive quantity, an olive quantity of pure chometz, but it's mixed with other substances, that would be a violation of a posuk. Rashi cites the posuk in the context of Passover. It says, Kol machmetzes lo sochelu. So Rebbe Lozer, in the context of chometz on Pesach, looks on at the word kol. Kol is an inclusive expression. And Ze'iri, following in Rebbe Lozer's footsteps, darshening the word kol, as we cited before, kol sa'or v'chol dvash lo saktiru, includes sa'or bebal taktiru, just like Rebbe Lozer refers to chometz bepesach. The Gemara says, well, if Ziri is based on Rebbe Lozer, ihochi le'inyon chometz nami. With regard to chometz as well, then you would apply the principle of heter mitzdaref le'isur. So why doesn't Ziri mention that? The Gemara says, in hochi nami, Ziri really does intend to mention that. He's not making a comment to the exclusion of chometz on Pesach. So then why did Ziri focus on Sor b'bal taktiru? Elo lafuke me'abaye. Ziri is coming to the exclusion of Abaye's approach. De Omar, Abaye's approach is that when it comes to haktorah on the Mizbeach, there is no minimum quantity, any amount. In other words, according to Abaye, you don't need to come on to tziruf, to combining to reach a minimum quantity. So Abaye represents an opinion that Ze'iri is trying to exclude. Hence the Gemara says, we'll read again, La fuke ma'abaye, domar yesh haktora bepochos mikazayas. According to Abaye, haktora of that which is forbidden is considered violated even at less than an olive quantity. In other words, any amount, any negligible amount. Chomash Malon, Ze'iri is informing us, ein haktora bepochos mikazayas. The idea of burning on the Mizbeach, of offering something on Mizbeach in a prohibited form, doesn't exist if it's less than an olive quantity. But as we mentioned earlier, the olive quantity doesn't have to be an olive quantity of pure prohibition. It could be an olive quantity made up of majority prohibited substance combined with a minority of allowed substance, but altogether, when put on the Mizbeach, it is an olive quantity. And that would be an example of heter mitzdarf le'isur in a realm beyond that of nozir. I want to point out that the reference we made before to Abaye concerning heter mitzdarf le'isur in all isurim, this will be appreciated as we go on in the Gemara, where Abaye challenges Rabbi Yochanan's contention that heter mitzdarf le'isur is limited to nozir, and Abaye raises a question from another realm, the realm of truma, and hence the feeling or the impression that Abaye gives us that heter mitzdarf le'isur is not something limited to one specific realm. So now we continue, and we'll see that very question. Before we get into the Gemara text itself, let's glance at the side. We have a nosei / mivne heading. A volcano shape will appear. We call this in this particular case, a ma'akav, because we're going to notice this shape in an alternating direction as you go on in the Gemara. As you continue down Lamed Vav Amid Beis onto Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, you'll notice how this marking scheme continues. It's a quite lengthy back and forth discussion, and with the narrow part of the trapezoid volcano shape facing upwards, Abaye Makshe Aravdimi Shehevi Dino Shel Rabbi Yochanan. Abaye will challenge Ravdimi, who had quoted Rabbi Yochanan. That was what Rav Dimi was quoting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that, as we've said already several times, that Heter Mitzarf Le'isur is limited to Nazirus and not found in other areas of prohibition. U'menaseh laharus shezeh kayim gam b'shar isurim. Abaye will try to show that this appears by other prohibitions as well. Al yideh havoaz dugma mitruma. Abaye will cite an example from the case of Truma, the tithe separated from produce given to Kohanim, which has obviously nothing to do with Nazir. The inverted shape will represent Tshuvos Shel Ravdimi, Ravdimi's responses. So, we continue in the Gemara. Yosef Ravdimi, V'komar Lo Lahosh Maitz Ravdimi, quotes Rabbi Yochanan, that says ein heter mitzarf leisur except for nazir. Eisvei Abaye, take note of the fact that this is a long question. It will take us to the top of Amud Beis. Eisvei Abaye, and note the crown, because he's another opinion regarding this concept of heter mitzarf leisur. So, what is Abaye's question? He quotes a Tanaic source, Hamikpeh Shel Truma. Notice two lines later, we have a flip case of Mikpeh Shel Chulin. Well, what's Mikpeh? Mikpeh is a type of thick gravy. And Mikpeh Shel Truma, it's a thick gravy it's a wine-based gravy. There are also spices in this, V'hashum V'hashemen Shel Chulin. Mixed into this is some garlic and some oil that is of chulin status, meaning non-truma. Truma is something that has a certain level of holiness and must be kept away from that which would defile it. Amongst the different kinds of defiling sources is an individual called a tful yom. This is a person that had been Tomei. At the end of his Tumah period, he immerses in the mikveh, and before sundown, he has a Tvul Yom status. Tvul Yom meaning he has immersed himself that day prior to sundown. His status in the order of Tumah, he is called a Sheni L'Tumah. He's a second level Tumah following an Ava Tumah, a Rishon L'Tumah, a Sheni L'Tumah. A Sheni L'Tuma is a type or a level of Tuma that can defile not just anything, but can defile Truma. Truma is sensitive to a Tvul Yom contact. And in our case, V'noga Tvul Yom b'miktsasan, a Tvul Yom put his finger into this gravy, wine, Truma wine-based gravy, put his hand, touched part of it, Pasal es Kulan. He defiles the entire mixture. The mikveh is the ikur, that's the mainstay, and it happens to be of truma. So the tvuyom's contact with it will ruin it. Mikpeh shel chulin, and this section of the source is really what is of more interest to us, as you'll see later in the Gemara. Here you have a gravy, which is basically chulin. V'hashum v'hashemen shel truma. The spices in it are actually truma. V'noga tvul yom b'miktsasan. The tvul yom touched part of it. Rashi has two approaches. Either he touched the garlic or the section where there was some oil in there, or he touched the wine part of the gravy, but it's all together in one vessel, together with the truma spices. So the source says, Lo posal ela mokoim mago'o. The only part of this gravy that becomes prohibited is the spot that he touched. V'havinon bo, and we ask, Mokom mago'oi amai posal. The point that he contacted, why is that ruined? V'yomar rabo bar bar chano omar rab yochanan matam. What's the reason? Hoyu v'zar loike oleho b'kezayas. Because if a non-Kohen, a Zar, is a non-Kohen, would take an olive quantity of this mikpeh. This mikpeh is, as we said, is chulin with some truma spices in it. And he would take an olive quantity of it. He would be subject to loke. Loke means malchus. He would be subject to lashing. My time, why would he be lashed? After all, an olive quantity of this, the mikpeh shel chulin with truma spices in it, you don't have an olive quantity of prohibited stuff in there. Why should he be punished? The Gemara continues on the top of Amud Beis. Lav mishum deheter mitzarif leisur. Is it not because of this principle that the heter, in this case the gravy which was chulin, is joining up with the truma spices to equal an entire quantity, an olive quantity of that which we'll now call forbidden? But it's forbidden only because we were saying that the heter, the allowed, is joining up. So what do we see? We see even in a realm that's not nazir related. Here we're talking about truma and a non-Kohen eating it. And yet there's a violation. Omar Levo, Rav Dimi, representing Rav Yochanan, says, no, you've got it wrong. My kezias, the czar is getting punished for eating a kezias. It doesn't mean that he scooped out one olive quantity of mikpeh, but rather he was eating, we'll say, a large amount of mikpeh, and in the course of, we'll say, 4 minutes, 4 minutes of eating, he will have eaten an olive quantity of pure truma. He's eaten many olive quantities in 4 minutes, but within all of the food that he ate, you will have found an olive quantity of truma alone. In other words, when I say alone, means you could have extracted a total of an olive quantity of truma in the food that he ate over the course of 4 minutes. So not like Abaye was trying to say that there was just one olive quantity altogether that he ate, and as far as how much prohibition was in there, there was less than a kezias of prohibited substance, and still you're guilty. Rav Dimi says no. He ate many olive quantities of this gravy with the truma spices in, and over the course of 4 minutes, he will have consumed an olive quantity, a complete olive quantity of prohibited substance. And Rav Dimi says for that, he will get lashed. The Gemara asks, V'achilas pras doraisahi? This idea of eating a pras, as we said before, it's a certain quantity of food that you would eat over the course of 4 minutes. So is this a Torah-type violation, that the eating that you do within the 4 minutes, if there is contained within all of the food that you ate an olive quantity of prohibited stuff, you're in violation of a Torah prohibition? Is that really so? Amar Leyin, yes, Rav Dimi says it is. Well, ihochi amai pligi rabbonon olei derabelozer bekusa chabavli. Why is it that the rabbonon disagree with Rebelozer when it comes to the eating of kusa chabavli? Now, what's kusa chabavli? Kusa chabavli, first of all, let's understand it in the context of chometz bepesach. It's made of fermented milk combined with bread. The majority of this food substance is the fermented milk, fermented dairy stuff, cheese or milk-like substance, and there is also bread mixed in. If one eats this on Pesach, is he considered in violation of consuming chometz? So now, if you say that achilas pras is doraisa, in the there happens to be the opinion of Rebbe Lozer that is strict, is stringent, but the Rabbanon say he is exempt. And our question is, why would the Rabbanon disagree with Rebbe Lozer? If you're going to eat, let's say, 4 minutes of eating Kusach HaBavli, are you not going to be eating a kezias of chometz? You may recall that we made reference to Rebbe Lozer back on Omen Aleph in the reference made to Ziri at the second line from the top of Lamed Vav Omen Aleph. Rebbe Lozer, in the context of chometz Pesach, darshin the posuk that says kol machmetz lo sochelu, in which he learns that chometz, even when it's in a mixture, constitutes a Torah violation. But the Rabbanon, they argue. Well, why should they argue if kezayis b'chdei achilas pras is a Torah violation? As we said, in the course of eating of kusach habavli over 4 minutes, you will certainly have eaten a kezayis, a full olive quantity of chometz. So, yet the Rabbanon exempt when it comes to the eating of kusach habavli. Why is that? So the Gemara answers. Omar le, Rav Dimi says, Hanoch l'kusach habavli. Hanoch means leave it aside, leave it out of our discussion. Why? Deleko kezayis b'chtei achilas pras. The food, say nature, then of kusach habavli, is that over the course of eating 4 minutes of it, you in fact will not be consuming an olive quantity of chometz. And he explains, "E deka sorif le misraf." Sorif le misraf is a type of like gulping or rapid eating, gulping down the kusach habavli. If you eat that, if you eat it like that, botlo daito eitzel kol adam. It's a sharp or very sour type of dish, which is used primarily as a dip. Someone who goes and drinks it down is eating in an unusual fashion, and that wouldn't be considered derech achila, and therefore he wouldn't be considered in violation of the Torah prohibition of eating chometz on Pesach. When the Torah speaks about eating, it speaks about, the Torah prohibits, let's say, the normal type of consumption. So, sorif le misraf, a gulping down of kusach habavli, would be a very strange thing to do, and it's true. If you do that, you will end up consuming an olive quantity of chometz within a rather short amount of time, but that's an unusual way of eating, hence, the Rabbanan would certainly exempt him. And e mishtar koshotar, and if you're going to use it, and you're going to consume kusach habavli in the normal way as a dip, lo mishkachas kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, over 4 minutes of eating kusach habavli in a eating it as a dip, you will in fact not consume even a kezayis of chometz. So there is no violation as far as the Rabbanon are concerned. But, in general, food mixtures where you have Esor mixed into Heter, and over the course of 4 minutes of eating that type of mixture, and there is an olive quantity of prohibited food within that mixture, there will be a violation. And that was Rav Dimi's explanation regarding the mikpeh shel chulin with the truma spices mixed in. Eisfe, we continue in the Gemara with Abaye again raising a challenge. Shtei maduchos. Maduchos are grinders, or like a mortar and pestle situation, where you have the mortar containing a substance, and achas shel truma, the achas shel chulin. One was used for contains truma, and one contains chulin. Ulefonov shtei kederos, and there's also in front of them two pots, achas shel truma, achas shel chulin. One pot has a chulin food cooking in it, mundane common food, and the other pot has truma food, truma, the tithe given to kohanim. V'noflu elu l'soch elu, the maduchos and the contents of the maduchos of these mortars fell into the two pots. In other words, one maducha fell into one pot, and the other maducha fell into the other pot. Shtehen mutaros, both pots are mutar, meaning the chulin pot of food we will allow even a non-kohen to eat. Why? Shani oimer, because I say, in other words, we can impose our explanation. Chulin l'toy chulin naflu, truma l'seich truma nafla. The chulin spices fell into the chulin pot, then the truma spices, which would have been a problem had they fallen into the chulin pot, but no, they fell into the truma pot. On the side, you'll notice we have a mivne, a structural note where a diamond appears. The Shani Omer expression you see here, and you'll see later, Kula, it represents a leniency. Liftor bayos shel taruvas truma b'chulin. We're alleviating the problem of truma getting mixed into chulin by our interpretation, or our ascribing the facts, so to speak. Namely, our presumption that the chulin fell into the chulin pot and the truma spices fell into the truma pot. Now Abaye continues with his question. The Yisalka Daitoch Kezayas Bechtei Achilas Prasto Raisa. If, as you, Rav Dimi, contended that Kezayas Bechtei Achilas Pras is a Torah level violation, if you eat within 4 minutes a food mixture that has within it that which is usur, even though you didn't eat pure issue, you ate it as part of a mixture, but you could extract from that mixture an olive quantity of prohibited stuff, and you ate the entire mixture within the shiur zman, the span of time called b'chdei achilas pras, which we suggested is around 4 minutes, you're in violation of the Torah. Well, if that's the case, my amrinon shani omer, how is it that we can be so lenient as to ascribe the chulin having fallen into the chulin? Do you not have to concern yourself with a possible Torah level violation? Is there not a suffek here, a doubt concerning a Torah level prohibition? And we know, as a matter of rule, when you have a suffek d'oraisa, we go l'chumrah. By the fact that we are lenient, says Abaye, you see from here that Kezayas Bechtei Achilas Pras is not something that would constitute a Torah level violation. And of course, if you replay the entire sukkah, the issue where we saw the mikpeh shechulin with the truma spices in it and the zar getting malchus, Abaye of course would like to believe because of Heter Mitzdarf Le'isor. Rav Dimi tried to explain the problem there is you're eating a full kezias of prohibited stuff, but within 4 minutes. Well, if that's really a problem, then why over here can we afford to be so lenient as to say, well, it's in all likelihood that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. Don't you have to raise the possibility because of a Torah level violation that maybe the truma fell into the chulin and prohibit a non-kohen from eating the chulin? Now, a Rav Dimi responds, Elomai. Well, then what do you, Abaye, want to say? Heter mitzdarif leisur. Well, Amai Amrinon Shani Omer. Why, according to you, who says that heter mitzdarif leisur exists beyond Nazirus, why, in this case, could we be so lenient? Even when you pull out of the chulin pot, the possible truma that fell in, and you pull out a kezias quantity of food, according to you, isn't there a problem of heter mitzdaref leisur? Why then does the Tanaic source enable us to be so lenient? So Rav Dimi continues, Ela hanoch letrumas tavlin derabonan. You're dealing with a case of truma spices. Spices and the need to tithe from spices is merely rabbinic. The Torah's expectation of truma tithing applies to dogon tirosh v'yitzar, grains, wine, and olive oil. Spices and the need to tithe them is merely rabbinic. So when you have a doubt concerning something of a rabbinic nature, we have a right to be makil. We can be lenient. So this source doesn't represent a challenge to me, says Rav Dimi, that in general, when you're dealing with a Torah-level prohibition, and you consume a mixture with Torah-level prohibition mixed in, and in the course of 4 minutes you would eat an olive quantity, you in fact would be in violation. Esvei, Abaye comes back with a challenge, and he is going to raise, again, challenge involving truma and chulin, and we're not going to be talking about spices, so we're going to assume that we have a Torah level truma matter on hands, and you're going to see again the same type of logic of Shani Omer, where we're lenient. And if Kezias Bechtei Achilas Pras was truly Doraisa, how can we be so lenient in this case? And hence Abaye's question. Now let's see the text. Eisvei. Shtei kupos, two boxes. Achas shel truma ve'achas shel chulin. One containing truma, food, and the other chulin. Lefneim shtei soyin. Soy is a container. A saw, technically speaking, is a measure. It's a vessel that measures a saw. And within these two measures, achas shel chulin ve'achas shel truma. V'noflu elu l'toch elu. Each one fell into the other. Like we saw before, we mentioned before that the kupos contain food. The Rush points out they contain grain. And grain, as we mentioned, is something that is chayev in truma midoraisa. So we have these two large boxes, and in front of the two large boxes are two measures containing grain also, one of chulin and one of truma, and one measure fell into one box, and the other measure fell into the other box. We say, the source goes on to say, shnei mutarin, shani omer chulin l'toch chulin naflu, truma l'toch truma nafla. They are both allowed, because we have the right to say that chulin fell into chulin and truma fell into the truma. Hence, the chulin doesn't have any truma mixed in, and it's mutter for a non-kohen as well. V'yin salka daitach, Abaye asks, if it's really so that kezayas bechdei achilas pras do raisa, amayam rinon shani omer, why is it here that we're so light, so lenient in saying that the truma sa'ah fell into the truma box and not the other way around, and not that the Truma fell into the Chulin. Do we not have a Torah level Suffolk over here? That in the course of 4 minutes of eating, you will have consumed a kazayas amount of Truma, even if it had fallen into the Chulin box. And as we mentioned earlier, you have a Suffolk Daraisa. There's a matter of doubt over here. On the one hand, you can say that the Truma fell into the Truma and everything's fine. But isn't there a doubt that maybe the Truma fell into the Chulin? And if you would eat that mixture over the course of 4 minutes, you will have consumed a kezias of Truma. So how can we say that it's that the Chulin box is mutter for a non-Kohen? Abaye continues at the top of Daf Lamed Zayin Omen Aleph. Bishlam Aladidi De Amino Mishum Heter Mitzaref Leisur. According to my approach, when I was explaining the Mikpeh Shel Chulin and the Truma spices, and I introduced the possibility of Heter Mitzaref Leisur going beyond Nazirus, I can tell you over here, Kegoin De Nefishi Chulin. There is a large amount of Chulin, so much so that we wouldn't say Heter Mitzaref Leisur unless the Isur is the majority. So that if you take an olive quantity of mixed substance, heter allowed and isur and forbidden, and within that olive quantity, the majority is prohibited, then we will say that the heter is mitzaref, the permitted amount of food joins up to complete the olive quantity, but once again, provided the majority is prohibited, majority of that olive amount. Therefore, since you don't have that, when you have a large amount of chulin relative to the small amount of truma that fell in, you don't have any heter mitzaref le'isur to begin with. Therefore, we can be lenient. But according to you, Rav Dini, that says that eating a quantity of a kezias quantity of prohibited food within a span of 4 minutes when it's in a mixture, that that's a Torah level prohibition. Even if there happens to be a majority, a large amount of chulin, so what? Is there still not the reality of eating a kezias of Isur within the 4 minutes? And maybe just to say the obvious, this idea of kezias b'chtei achilas pras is a case that where by definition you're going to have the majority of permitted stuff. It's just that within 4 minutes of eating this mixed food situation, you will be eating a kezias of that which is prohibited. So how, according to you, Rav Dimi, can this Tanaic source present us with such a lenient approach to the doubt? Omar Leh, Rav Dimi responds, Hanoch l'truma bizman hazeh derabonon. This source is talking about nowadays. Bizman hazeh, this is a situation where historically the obligation of truma dropped down from a Torah level to a rabbinic level. As far as when that happened and why that happened, let's leave that as an interesting point, but outside the realm of our current shiur. Once again, truma bizman hazeh is derabbanan, and the source is talking about the bizman hazeh situation. And since it's derabbanan, since it's rabbinic, and you have a matter of doubt concerning a rabbinic ruling, namely the need to tithe even from grain is only rabbinic nowadays, when you have a suffek derabbanan, we can afford to be lenient. And now Abaye asks. Notice we have a very long question. And of course you can see that with our markings. If you need to access a marked Gemara, realize that you can access one by contacting gmarkings@gmail.com. On the side, we have a topic heading, and this we entitle Ta'am Ki'ikar, the mere taste of that which is prohibited. Do we view it as if it is considered like the actual prohibited item? This, of course, applies all across the boards to all kinds of areas of prohibition. If you were to take, let us say, some prohibited meat, some pork, and cook it up in a pot with some potatoes, and you took out a kezias of potatoes, and it has a pork taste absorbed in the potatoes, we would say that the potatoes are prohibited as if they were pork itself. That is, of course, if you hold ta'am ki'ikr, that the mere taste of that which is prohibited is like the original prohibited food. Abaye mishane kivun. Abaye will say changes his direction. Umatzia and suggests she mishras milamedes she tam kiker. Now, mishras, I hope everyone recalls, appeared at the beginning of today's shiur, the shiur for daf lamed vav. Of course, we're spilling over. You can see we're involved in one long discussion, and at the beginning of our shiur, we saw that mishras was introduced by Reb Yochanan as saying is the source for heter mitzaref le'isur and is limited to the realm of nazir. Abaye is going to try to, as we say, change directions and suggest that mishras will teach us the principle of ta'am ki'ikr. Now the Gemara. Omar le Abaye. Meimai dahai mishras. Who is to say that mishras that you saw on daf lamed heyomid beis leheter mitzdarif leisur hudaasa, that it is coming for that purpose? Dilma litain tam ki ikur hudaasa. Maybe its purpose is to introduce this, we'll say, this new idea. And what would be an example of tam ki'ikr? If you took some grapes, let's say within the realm of nazir, if you took some grapes and soaked them in water, and the water then had a grape flavor to it. And if you skip the bracketed section, you'll see the Gemara says lichiditanya, which illustrates the idea of tam ki'ikr that Abaye just mentioned. On the side, we have a little note explaining why we have brackets. Let's read the note. Achrei hasograyim muvo habasis. After the brackets, the Gemara will bring the basis lahatzah hachadosh shabai for Abaye's new suggestion. Besoch hasograyim haGemara mabi'ah tmi'asa. The Gemara is going to express a sense of wonderment al shinui kivuno shel Abaye, regarding Abaye's change of direction. Now there's a little note we have noted with a star in the Rashi, right across from here more or less. The Rashi is a structural Rashi, meaning, let's read the words first. It says, Umekamin de Messiah Abaye lemilsei. Before Abaye finishes his point, and we have, with our markings, you can see that Abaye is making a long point. He has a long question that he's raising. Before he finishes his question, Maktin le hashas lefuche, the Gemara, the Shas, the Talmud interrupts Abaye with its own observation regarding Abaye. So Abaye is, in a sense, is raising a question, a long question. In the middle, the Gemara interrupts. Now, let's take a look at the interruption. What did Abaye just say? Abaye just said, you know, Mishrasa, doesn't that come to tell me the concept of Tam Ki'ikr? So now, in the Gemara, Ulabaye Meikora Kokashile Mai Dekomer Avdimi. Abaye originally was troubled by what Rav Dimi had said, namely, Rav Dimi, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan that Mishras teaches me Heter Mitzdarf Leisur, and that is something that applies only to Nazir. And Abaye questioned that. The Komoisiv Le Kol Halin Tiyufta. And Abaye raised all those questions that we saw along the way to show that Heter Mitzdarf Leisur applies to all Isurim. So Abaye was gung-ho in his commitment to Mishras. Yes, it teaches me a principle of Heter Mitzdarf Leisur, but it's not limited to Nozir. Mishras teaches me across the boards. Hodar Omar Le, and Abaye all of a sudden seems to abandon his campaign and says, Litain Tam Kiker, that Mishras comes to teach me a new principle where there's mere taste of that which is forbidden is like the original prohibited stuff. And that would be that even in a case of Nazir, Mishras is to tell us Tam Kiker and not for Heter Mitzdarf Leisur. This would be a very radical change on the part of Abaye. So the Gemara explains, Bosar Deshoni Le, after Rav Dimi successfully answered Abaye's questions, Omar Le, Abaye suggested, well, Dilma Litain Tam Kiker Hu Da'asa. So it seems, as the Gemara observes, that Abaye was very impressed with Rav Dimi's responses, and hence Abaye takes a new track altogether with regard to Mishras. Namely, who says that Mishras is to tell me Heter Mitzdarf Leisur? Maybe Mishras tells me Tam Kiker. It would appear to me that if you want to note a prominent difference between the concept of Tam Kiker and Heter Mitzdarf Leisur, in the case of Heter Mitzdarf Leisur, there is actual prohibited substance in the olive quantity that you will be eating. It's just that you don't have a full olive quantity of that which is prohibited. But there is an olive, there is actual prohibited substance. In Tam Ki Iker, you just have mere taste. You don't have any actual prohibited substance. Now, we continue in the Gemara with Abaye's point. L'chidetanya, Abaye had said that Mishras might very well be to teach me Tam Kiker, as you see in the following source. Mishras, again, quote from the Pasuk, Litain Tam Kiker, to tell that there is forbidden even mere taste as if it's original prohibited food. Sheim shora anovim b'mayim, if you were to have soaked some grapes in water. V'yesh ben tarim yayin, and there's a wine taste to the water. Regarding a nazir, chayav, a nazir would be in violation. But the source goes beyond that. And from here, we would expand to all areas of Torah prohibition. And on what basis? Uma nazir. And here we use Kal v'chomer logic, where we first describe the elements of nazirus, and then we make reference to other prohibited areas of the Torah. Uma nazir she'ein isuro isur olam. Nazirus is mutter, is released from restriction after 30 days. It's not isur olam. It's not a permanent prohibition. V'ein isuro isur hano. A nazir is allowed to benefit from grape products. It's not isur hano means that which is prohibited even from mere benefit. A nazir is allowed to sell grapes. V'yesh heter l'isuro. And the Nazirus prohibition, Tosef explains, is a type of Easter that has heter to it, means it can be released by consulting a sage. We call that being matir neder. So that Nazirus on three counts can be described as a fairly, we'll say, light level area of prohibition. And yet, Asa boy tam kikr. The Torah says that mere wine taste is as if it's an actual grape or wine product. As we explained before, with the grapes soaked in the water as being prohibited to the nazir. So if for a nazir, which is a rather, we'll say, light level area of halacha, we have the tam kikr prohibition, kilei hakerem. Kilei HaKerem, also known as Kilayim, is a vineyard in which grains were growing. Those the products grown in Kilei HaKerem, the grains that grow in the midst of a vineyard, are strictly prohibited. And on the three points that we just mentioned as being lenient with regard to Nazir, you'll see here restriction, you'll see stringency. She'isuran isur oilam. Kilei HaKerem are permanently prohibited. V'isuran isur hano, and one is not allowed to benefit from them. V'ein heter li'isuran. There's no allowance, there's no release from that isur. Eino din shiase boy tam kicker. All the more so when it comes to products prohibited by virtue of their being kilei hakerem. Certainly, we would say that the mere taste is as if it's the original. Vehu hadin liorla b'shtayim. Orla are fruits from a fruit tree within the first 3 years of that tree's life. And Orla is similar to Kilei HaKerem on two of the three points. And they are the Orla fruits. Those fruits that grew within the first 3 years are also forever. And they're also prohibited to benefit from. The third point about the Isur of Orla being released, it does get released after the third year of the tree's life. But on two of the three points, Orla is more strict, is more stringent than Nazir. And therefore, if in the realm of Nazir you're going to say Tam Kicker, all the more so if you have some, let's say, Orla fruits that were soaked in water and there's a taste of the Orla fruit taste in that water, certainly that would be prohibited on the grounds of Tam Ki'ikr. So Rav Abaye at this point finishes his long question by saying, you know, Mishras, who says that Mishras is at all teaching what Rabbi Yochanan, who Rav Dimi represented, namely Heter Mitzaref Li'isur, when Mishras might very well be teaching me Tam Ki'ikr? Omar Le, Rav Dimi responds, Ho Moni Rabbonon. The source you just cited is in accordance with the Rabbonon, that Mishras, in fact, teaches me Tam Kikr. Rabbi Avo, Kiko Omar, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Avo was back on Daf Lamed Heyomed Aleph. At the end of Lamed Heyomed Beis, Rabbi Avo was the one that that quoted Reb Yochanan. So when you see Reb Yavo, you're in effect seeing Reb Yochanan. So that point made by Reb Yavo was in accordance with the Tano Rebbe Akiva, namely that Mishras teaches me Heter Mitzaref LeIsur. That's Rebbe Akiva. At this point, the Gemara then seeks out a source in which Rebbe Akiva would have said that. On the side of the Gemara, we have this as our topic heading, the Nosei. Let's read it together. And we call this Hemshech, meaning a continuation of the topic. Rav Dimi Oinel Abaye, Rav Dimi responds to Abai, Shalim Uchigotimi Mishras, Shoni B'machlokas Tanoim. The teaching derived from the word Mishras, in fact, is a Machlokas Tanoim. And the suggestion that Abaye made that Mishras, based on a Tanaic source, that Mishras teaches me Tam Kikur, that's very true, but that's according to the Rabbanon. What I, Rav Dimi, who represented Rav Yavom and Rav Yochanan, we were saying something that, namely, that Mishras teaches me Heter Mitzaref LeIsur, that is a Rebbe Akiva approach to things. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice the use of a double underline, and the marking represents, under our Mivne heading, Chipus Achar Rebbe Akiva Shesoiver Heter Mitzaref LeIsur. We're looking for a source in which Rebbe Akiva would be saying that idea, the original idea of Heter Mitzaref LeIsur. Where do you see Rebbe Akiva saying that? So you'll see an attempt made over here, and a few lines later in the Gemara Elo, Rebbe Akiva Debraisa, where we'll see that presented. Now the Gemara. Hey, Rebbe Akiva. Which Rebbe Akiva? Where does he say that there's such a thing as Heter Mitzaref LeIsur? And by the way, if we're here to explain Rebbe Avo, we should say that Mishras teaches me Heter Mitzaref LeIsur with regard to Nozir. So where does Rebbe Akiva say that? If it's Rebbe Akiva from here that says Rebbe Akiva Imer Afilu Shora Pito Biayin Viesh Bo Kedei Litzarev Kezayas Chayav. This is a reference to the Tanaic source we just saw three lines up that spoke about the soaking of grapes in the water. So Rebbe Akiva says, if you soaked your bread in wine, v'yeshbo kedei litzarev kezayas, and there's enough to add up to a kezayas, one will be chayav. So it sounds that you have heter, the bread, joining up with the wine, forming or adding up to an olive quantity. The Gemara asks, Umay, who says that this citation is one of heter mitzarev leisor? Dilma v'hudiiko kezayis. Maybe what is referred to here is that you have a kezayis of wine alone. In other words, you're eating some bread soaked in wine, and how much wine do you have here? You have of the wine that's absorbed in the bread, you have a kezayis of wine alone. The bread then represents beyond that, but you have a kezayis of wine alone. The Gemara asks, V'chitemo mai lameimra? If that's the case, so then why do you have to bother saying this? I just want to read, because we didn't read with the box amendation, I want to read this the line again. Dilma v'hu de'iko kezayis miyayin lichudei. It could be that in this Rebbe Akiva statement you have an olive quantity of wine itself there, besides the bread. And then we say, v'chitemo mai lameimra. You'll ask, then why bother even teaching this? It's so obvious. No, la fuke mitanakamo. This teaching is to the exclusion of the opinion of the Tanakhama. Domar ad sheyishteh revi'is yayin. As far as the Tanakhama is concerned, a nazir is not in violation of wine consumption unless he drinks a revi'is of wine. Revi'is is a liquid measure, which is more than an olive quantity. Generally speaking, when you speak about an olive quantity of a liquid, that is measured through displacement, where namely you would fill a vessel to the brim with, in this case, wine, and you would drop into the vessel filled to the brim with wine, you drop into it an olive, a certain amount of wine would spill over, that is called a kezias of wine. So this source doesn't indicate heter mitstaref, the isur of joining heter up with isur to add to a total of an olive quantity. Hello, Rabbi Kiva de Brisa. Rabbi Kiva in the following Brisa source, following Tanaic source, the Sanya Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Nozir Shishora Pito Bayayin, a Nozir that soaked his bread in wine, V'ochal Kezayas Mi Pas Umiyayin Chayav. He ate a total of a kezias, which was made up part bread, part wine. As we go on in the Gemara, a new marking appears, and on the side we've indicated the house marking, Havlotas Rav Acha Brei de Rav Avya. We're going to be highlighting his name as we go along in the Gemara. Omar le Rav Acha Brei de Rav Avya le Rav Ashi. Le Rabbi Akiva de Kamoikim le Lahai v'chol Mishras le Heter Mitzaref le Isur. According to Rabbi Akiva, who says that Mishras teaches me the concept of Heter Mitzaref le Isur, Litein Tam Kikur Min Ole. Where does Rabbi Akiva learn the principle that the Rabbanan originally expressed, that Mishras teaches me Tam Kikur? Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, Mishras tells me Heter Mitzaref le Isur. So the principle of Tam Kikur, where does Rabbi Akiva learn that from? A triangle appears. On the side, we have the word Yolif in quotation marks. What we're going to be doing now is Chipus Achar HaMokr L'Rabbi Akiva, the Tam Kikur. We're going to be seeking out a source that would serve as Rabbi Akiva's basis for Tam Kikur. So the triangle, as you can see, appears here. And on the top of Omid Beis, you'll see another one. The Gemara answers, Yolif mi basar b'cholof. Rabbi Kiva will learn the concept of Ta'am Kikur, which we said the Rabbonah learned from Mishras. Rabbi Kiva will learn it from basar b'cholof, meat and milk. What's meat and milk for our purposes? Well, if you take a piece of meat and cook it up in a pot of milk, and then after it's cooked you take out the piece of meat and eat it, you're in violation of what's called basar b'cholof. The meat that you're eating, lav tam bi'almahu v'asr, is it not so that all that's in it is really a milky taste, and yet it's forbidden? Ha ha nami lo shna. So too, in other areas of prohibition, no difference. So basar b'cholov might very well be the source for Ta'am Ki'ikr. The Rabbanan learned Ta'am Ki'ikr from Mishras. Mishras was a pasuk by Nozir. Why don't the Rabbanan learn from Basar B'cholov? Mi Basar B'cholov lo gamrinon. We, the Rabbanan, do not learn from Basar B'cholov. The Chidush Hu. It represents an area of novelty, an area of law that has no parallel. And as such, we have a principle in the oral tradition that michidish lo yalfinan, from things that represent something of such a novel nature, it itself is prohibited. But we cannot extrapolate or expand that prohibition to other areas of law. You can see that we have a bracketed section. If you skip the bracketed section momentarily, the flow of the Gemara would be Rabbi Kiva Nami Boser B'cholov Chidushu. Is it not so that even according to Rabbi Kiva, Boser B'cholov represents a realm of Chidush, and therefore, how could Rabbi Kiva use Boser B'cholov as a source for a principle that you would want to apply elsewhere? Within the brackets, the Gemara analyzes, what do you mean that Boser B'cholov is an area of chidush, an area of novelty? Within the brackets, you can see the use of a double underline, and on the side, we've noted these are shlavim, stages, lahavim, mawa chidush yesh b'boser b'cholov. What in fact is that novel point that you find by boser b'cholov? So now the Gemara. My chidushay, we're reading within the brackets, what do you mean by Boser B'cholov being novel? He lemo dehai lichudei vai lichudei shori ubahadi hadodi osur, that each one, the meat lichudei by itself, the milk lichudei by itself, each item by itself, it, one is allowed to consume, and only when they're mixed together, only when they're cooked together, do you create prohibition. Well, that's not something that's unique to Boser B'cholov. Kilayem nami hai lichudei shori v'hai lichudei shori ubahadi hadodi osir. Kilayem, vines, grapevines, by themselves are fine. Wheat, growing in a wheat field, by itself is fine. But when you grow them together, you create prohibition. So this idea of two items being allowed separately, but together prohibited, is not something unique to Boser B'cholov. So it's not on those grounds that we can call Boser B'cholov a chidush. Elo, I'll tell you what the uniqueness of Boser B'cholov is. The itoru le kule yoima b'chova shori umevashe le bishuli aser. Take a piece of meat and soak it all day in milk. On a strictly Torah level, we're not talking about what our common practice is with regard to this area, but on a strictly Torah level, there is nothing wrong with eating that meat. You can rest assured there's going to be a milk taste in that meat, but that is not a problem. The problem, the prohibition, is only if they're cooked together. So this idea of creating prohibition, but only through cooking, that makes Boser B'cholov a unique, novel area of law from which we cannot expand to all areas. And yet, Rabbi Kiva says that from some area of law, we're going to learn the principle of Tam Ki'ikr. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Nami Boser B'cholov Chidushu, is it not so that Boser B'cholov represents a unique area of law, so it can't serve as a precedent? Ela Yolif, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Yolif Migi'uvei Oivdei Koychovim. He learns from the law called by the Gemara Giulei of the Kochavim, but let's say it in practical terms, if one acquires a pot that was used by idol worshippers, by Gentiles, to cook up their food. So non-Jews, Gentiles, will cook up pork in their pots. When a Jew gets a pot from a Gentile, we learn from the parsha in the Torah called Klei Midyan, as a result of a battle between the Jewish people and the Midianites, and the spoils of war that they took included pots used by the Midianites, who for our purposes represent Gentiles. The Torah says that you cannot use those pots directly after taking them from the Gentiles, but they have to go through a process whereby the taste absorbed in the pot walls is expunged. Oftentimes, the term hag'ola is used. where we expunge the absorbed taste. Now, if you wouldn't go through that process, we call it the kashering process or the koshering process. If you wouldn't go through that, and you would take the pot used by Gentiles, and you directly cook up in the pot potatoes, those potatoes will be prohibited. Well, what's wrong with the potatoes? What do they have in them? The answer to that is they have the pork taste that was released from the pot walls into the potatoes that you just cooked up. So as the Gemara says, the principle of Tam Kikur, as far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, will be learned from Giuli Oiv de Kichovim, the Amar Rachmana. The Torah says in the source that we made reference to by the Beklei Midyan, Kol Dover Asher Yavo Bo'esh, that's a pasuk indicating things that were used over the fire. They have to be kashered through the fire. We didn't explain how the kashering process works, but that's not important for right now. There's the concept of boiling out the pot, or immersing it in boiling water, or depending on how the pot was used, if it was used directly over the fire. Without water, you would expose it to fire. The main point for us is you're expunging the prohibited taste in the walls of that particular utensil. L'meimra, this pasuk indicates the asiri. Asi means forbidden, giule oivde kechavim, the taste that's absorbed in the cooking utensils of the non-Jews. Now, how can we describe that? Lav taima be'almahu, is it not that we're dealing with mere taste? We're not talking about you're eating pieces of pork. You're dealing with the pork taste, the forbidden foods meaning forbidden to Jews that were cooked up in the Gentile pots. That is what's prohibited. So hachanami, so too in other areas of prohibition, lo shna, no difference. And hence we can say ta'am ki'ikr applies to all isurim in the Torah. Ularabonon nami tepukle migi ule oivde kechavim. Remember, the Rabbonon learned tam kiker from Mishras, as we saw in the Brisa at the upper third of Omen Aleph. Why did the Rabbonon use Mishras as their source for tam kiker? Tepuklu migi ule oivde kechavim. Let the Rabbonon learn from this topic, the absorbed taste in Gentile pots that is forbidden until you kasher it. Before we go any further in the Gemara, we glance at the side of our Gemara. We have a nosei, a topic heading. What we are seeing is a machloikis, a disagreement. Im nitan l'moitam kikur migili nochrim. Can you learn this principle of ta'am kikur from the absorbed taste in Gentile pots? L'rabbonan yev shalumoid misham. The Rabbonan will tell you cannot learn from there. Dechidushu. The realm of Giulei of the Chovim is, again, an area of uniqueness, of novelty. Da Torah osra dovor shuhu no sein ta'am livgam. De b'chol mokom acher eino osr. Here you have a situation where you have a negative taste being prohibited by the Torah, which is not prohibited in all other areas. If you, let us say, have a piece of pork meat whose taste has gone bad, it's gone sour or rancid, it is not prohibited on a Torah level. And yet, the absorbed taste in pots is a ta'am livgam. It's not a pleasant taste. If the pot's been sitting there for a few days, unwashed or what have you, it's a taste that's absorbed in there, it has gone bad. And yet the Torah insists that you have to expunge that taste before using it. So the Torah is prohibiting, in the case of the pots, something that in other areas of halacha would not be prohibited. That makes it a chiddush. The Rabbi Akiva, Ein bo chiddush. According to Rabbi Akiva, the parsha in the Torah that we've referred to as Giulei Oivdei Kechavim, the Klei Midyan parsha, is not a chiddush. It's not something, a departure from other areas. Ta Torah Osra Kedera Bas Yoimo. When the Torah is prohibiting those pots, it's prohibiting a pot used that very day that you got from the Gentile. She'ein bo l'daita Rabbi Akiva mishum tam levgam. According to Rabbi Akiva, I'll say a freshly used Gentile pot, the taste that it has absorbed hasn't gone bad. So it's not a chiddush. It's a normal taste. It just so happens to be a forbidden taste from an original forbidden item. We will see when we learn the Gemara the response of the Rabbana to that point. Now we go back to the Gemara text. We're continuing with the Gemara four lines from the top. Ularabona nami tepuk lehu migiulei ovde kachavim. Couldn't the Rabbanan learn tam ki iker from giulei ovde kachavim, from the pots? Amar lei hasam nami chidushu. There too, you're dealing with a unique novel area. Da b'chola tera kula noisein tam levgam muter. With regard to other areas of food prohibitions, we know that if there is a negative taste to the otherwise prohibited item, it's no longer prohibited. The gabi giule oivdei kechavim aser. And when you're dealing with this area, the released taste from pot walls is viewed as a negative taste, and yet the Torah demands that we expunge that taste before using the pots. So you cannot learn tam kikur from giulei oivdei kechavim. Ulu Rabbi Akiva nami ha chidushu. Well, doesn't Rabbi Akiva have to confront this objection? How can Rabbi Akiva learn tam kikur from giulei oivdei kechavim? Amar Rav Huna bar Chiya loy osra teira elo lekedera bas yoima delav noisein tam livgam hu. The Torah, in its prohibition of the Gentile pots, is only the freshly used pots. Bas yoima means use that day. If 24 hours went by, and then after that, after the goy last used the pot, and then you acquire the pot, the Torah would not prohibit your direct use of it. Again, we caution, we're dealing with strictly Torah-level prohibitions. We're not dealing with practical applied halacha, so don't get any ideas from what we're saying here that when we say that after 24 hours, the pot's okay, even without kashering it. We're not saying that on a practical level, but on a Torah level, that is what Rabbi Akiva is telling us, namely that the Torah prohibits only the freshly used pots, the recently used pots. And that is not a tam lifgam. It's a normal taste, and therefore, giulei oivdei kechavim is not a chiddush, and I have a right to learn from it to other areas of prohibition, tam kiker being prohibited. For Rabbanon, they respond. They learn tam kiker from mishras. Kedera bas yoima nami, even a freshly used pot, efshadelo pogma purta. Once taste gets absorbed in pot walls, and then released by a subsequent cooking, it's a little bit off. It's not a great taste. As the Gemara says, it's efshadelo pogma purta. Purta means a little bit. It's got a little bit bad. And therefore, the Rabbanan say that that little change in the taste relegates giulei oivdei kechavim to the realm of chiddush, to uniqueness, and we're not going to learn tam kikur from there, but rather from mishras. Omer lei Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Avyo l'Rav Ashi. Again, we encounter Rav Acha, and he raises a question. Notice we have it marked as a long question. Before we go further in the Gemara, we'll glance at Rashi on the third narrow line. Amar le Rav Acha bre Rav Avya Rav Ashi. My taimo Amris de Rabbi Kiva les le Bishar Isur Shabbatorah de Heter Mitzdarf le Isur. Midrabona Nishma le Rabbi Kiva. Up till now, and here is further justification for our learning all of this, all of these dapim in one day. We're going right back to Lamed Hey Amid Beis, where Rabbi Kiva originally introduced Heter Mitzdarf le Isur from Mishras. And Rav Acha Breid Rav Avia is asking, why is it that you're saying, according to Rabbi Kiva, we do not hold Heter Mitzdarf le Isur outside of Nozir, in other realms of the Torah? Could we not, in fact, extrapolate from the Rabbanon's approach to Mishras, which was a source for them of Tam Kikr, and they used Mishras Tam Kikr but applied it to the rest of the Torah? Why not, on the same grounds, say, according to Rabbi Kiva and his use of Mishras, namely Heter Mitzdarf le Isur, would also apply to all areas of the Torah and not limited to Nazirus? So we have a question here that's a throwback to the very beginning of our shiur, where we first saw Rabbi Akiva's opinion when we were learning, of course, Rabbi Yochanan. Amar le, we go back to the Gemara text. Amar le, Rav Acha brei de Rav Avia le Rav Ashi. Mi de Rabbanan means from the opinion of the Tanoim that are called the Rabbanan. They were represented in the Brisa, on Omid Aleph, a third of the way down from the top, the Mishras source, where they learned from Mishras Tam Kikr, and then they expanded that to all Isurim in the Torah. From them, Nishma L'Rebbe Akiva. Let us conclude matters concerning Rabbi Akiva. Lav Amri Rabbanan Hay Mishras Litein Tam Kikr Umita Umikan Atadon L'Chol Isurim Shebetorah. Is it not so that the Rabbanan said that from Mishras we learn Tam Kikr, and then from that we learn the concept or the principle Tam Kikr for all Isurim in the Torah? Le Rabbi Akiva Nami De Ka Moikim Le Lahai Mishras Leheter Mitzdarif Leisur. According to Rabbi Kiva, who said that Mishras teaches me that principle of Heter Mitzdarif Leisur, Leimo Mikan Atadon Lechol Isur in Sheba Torah. From Mishras we can learn Heter Mitzdarif Leisur regarding all areas. Why then did Rabbi Yochanan back on Lamed Hamid Bey say that only by Nozir would we say thusly? Omar Le, Rav Ashi responds. You want to know why Rabbi Kiva limits Heter Mitzdarf Le Isur to the realm of Nozir and not expand it to the rest of the Torah? Well, Mishum Dahave Nozir V'chatos Shnei Ksuvim Boim Ke'echod V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Boim Ke'echod Ein Melamdin. There's a new principle, namely new, we haven't seen it today, and that is Shnei Ksuvim Boim Ke'echod. That means where you have two psukim, or two areas of the Torah, that come to teach me the same principle. In other words, instead of what usually happens, where a principle is taught through one example, and we say the principle you find there, and we can apply it across the boards. Where you have one principle, but repeated, so to speak, it's taught in two separate areas. Why does the Torah do that if it's trying to communicate an idea from that we should apply across the boards? Why overkill? Why not teach it just once and I'll extrapolate? From the fact that the Torah teaches something twice in two separate areas, that tells me that, that whatever principle it is, it's limited to do to those two areas, and you cannot expand it, extend it to other areas. So when it comes to heter mitzaref le'isur, the reason Rabbi Kiva doesn't apply it other than to nazir is because this idea of heter mitzaref le'isur is found by nazir, and it's found, in fact, by one other area. And it, the Gemara refers to it as chatos. The Gemara will explain that momentarily. Nazir ha'damoran, the concept of heter mitzaref le'isur, we've already said, is learned, according to Rabbi Kiva, from Mishras. So fine, the Torah states it by nazir. Chatos, mahi, the other realm. Chatos, what are you referring to? Desanya. The Pasuk says, kol ha'shiyiga b'vsara yikdash. Literally, anything that comes into contact with its flesh, you shall declare as sanctified. We're referring right now to a korban chatos, a sin offering sacrifice. Yochol afilu shelo bola. Let's say something touched the chatos meat, but it didn't absorb anything. Would that second item be called yikdash, meaning that it will be treated with the sanctity of the original chatos? Talmud lomar bivisara. The pasuk used that word bivisara, means in, absorbed into it. Ad sheyivla bivisara. The item referred to in the pasuk that would touch the chatos, it would have to absorb from the chatos. Yikdash liyos kamo. The word yikdash indicates that the second item will be like it, like the chatos. Shim psula hi yifsal. If the chatos meat was pusul, let us say it sat around beyond its time limitation of a day and a night. So if you were to cook then some other meat with that chatos, it too would become pusul, unfit. V'im k'sheira toichal k'chomur sheba. If the chatos is kosher, and let us say you cooked some shlomim meat with the chatos, without getting into too many details, let us simply say that the chatos has a one-day time limitation, and a shlomim korban has a two-day time limitation. If you were to take some shlomim meat and have it cooked with the chatos, and the shlomim would absorb the chatos taste, so now we have to say, actually, not just taste. We want to emphasize, as the Tosfos does, that the shlomim actually absorbed some fats from the chatos. That shlomim would then also become limited to one day for eating, not its original lenient 2 days. We have a little starred note that you can see in the Tosfos. Across from here, one, a couple lines down, Hare Goli Rachmona Bechatos, we have the Torah revealing by the Chatos the Heter Mitztaref L'Isur, that Heter joins up with Isur. Demilo Askinon, are we not talking about the following scenario? Denivla Chatzizayas Shumon Beso Chatzizayas Deshlomim, that a half olive quantity of Chatos fats got absorbed into the half quantity of shlomim material. In other words, you took, after they were, we'll say, cooked together, or were in contact with one another, you took a kezias of the shlomim, and we're telling you that that kezias of shlomim, you will have only one day in which to eat it. Why is that? Because that what you think is a kezias of shlomim is really a half kezias of shlomim and a half kezias of chatos. Sherei lahachi itzterich. I need chatos for that scenario. Because as far as Tosfos goes on to say that if the Chatos teaching here was only for the purpose of Tam Kiker, the Latam Kiker ha kvar yalfi migulei ovdei kachavim b'chol isurim. Rabbi Kiva already learned Tam Kiker from Gilei ovdei kachavim and applied that to all other isurim. So Chatos wouldn't be necessary for the purpose of teaching me Tam Kiker. We continue now in the Gemara. What is Rabbi Kiva's response to why Heter Mitztaref Le'isur is so limited? It's because it's taught in two separate places. And as by virtue of that, we call that Shnei Ksuma Boim Ke'echod, I cannot extend Heter Mitztaref Le'isur beyond the realm of Nazir. True, Chatas is also an example of that, but for our purposes, it means that Heter Mitztaref Le'isur does not apply to the rest of the Torah. V'rabbanan. Now, what is the Gemara asking at this point? So, according to the Rosh, the question is as follows. According to the Rabbanan that learn from Mishras, Tam Kiker, and according to the Rabbanan, for whom Giulei Oivdei Kichavim couldn't be a source for Tam Kiker because it was a Chiddush. According to the Rabbonan, and we're making this assumption right now, and based on the Rosh's commentary, that Mishras teaches me Tam Kiker, and the Parsha of Chatos also teaches me Tam Kiker. Once again, according to the Rabbanan, Giulei Oivdei Kichavim was not a source for Tam Kiker to begin with. So according to the Rabbanan, that Mishras is Tam Kiker, and Chatos is also an example of Tam Kiker, namely, you cooked some Shlomim together with Chatos, and the Shlomim merely absorbed Chatos' taste, but didn't absorb any of its fats. The Shlomim would be Osir, or treated the same way as that Chatos. And yet the Rabbanan were willing to say that Tam Kiker applies to the rest of the Torah. Do you not have a problem of Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echad according to the Rabbanan? Then we just got finished saying that when you have two separate areas that come to teach me the same principle, I can't extend it to other areas. So why is it, according to the Rabbanan, who have Mishras teaching me Tam Kiker, and the Parsha of Chatos teaching me Tam Kiker, and yet they apply Tam Kiker to the rest of the Torah? The Gemara answers in one word, but it's an important concept, Tzrichi. That means that we'll call it the undoing of the principle of Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echad Ein Melamdin takes place when I can demonstrate that by teaching one, I would not have been able to figure out the other. In other words, they're not both the same. We said before that Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echad Ein Melamdin, that's true when both areas are in effect the same, and the Torah is simply repeating the same principle twice. So we say, oh, it's repeating the same thing twice. It means it's limited to those areas and not anything else. But if the two areas are not identical, I then can extend the principle under discussion to the rest of the Torah. And that's what we're going to explain now. I need both Mishras and Chatos to teach me Tam Kiker, and I would not have been able to figure one from the other, and therefore I can extend Tam Kiker to the rest of the Torah. Te'i kosav rachmona gabi chatos. Havi amina nozir lo osimine. Had the Torah taught me Tam Kiker by the realm of chatos, the sin offering topic that we discussed, I wouldn't have thought to learn nozir from that. Mishum de nozir mikotchim Lo Yalfinon. Nozir is a topic or a realm of law that's not Beis Hamikdash centered. It's true there are korbanos that are brought, but it's something that applies to anyone who accepts upon himself a Nazir's vow. So if you're going to tell me a stringency like tam kikr, that mere taste is like the original, and teach that in the realm of sacrifices, I would say that's a stringency limited to kutchim, to sacrifices. But I can't extend that to nausier. Therefore, stating it just by chatas would not have been sufficient. V'i kosav rachmona gabi nozir, had the Torah presented the principle of tam ki'ikr by mishras, by nozir, hava amino mi nozir lo yafinon, I would have thought, well, I'm not going to learn from it to other areas. Mishum dechomer isurei, nozir has an element of stringency beyond anything else you find in the Torah. Dafilu chartzon osir lei, hilkoch lo asya minei. Chartzon, we've seen in a previous dapim, is the grape seed. Grape seeds are in and of themselves not something that normal people would eat. It's not a food item, and yet the Torah prohibits it. The Torah doesn't prohibit in general for consumption things that are not food items. Here you have something that technically speaking is not a food item, and yet the Torah prohibits it. So I would say that Nazirus is a very unique realm, and I wouldn't think to learn principles that you find by Nazirus, in this case, Tam Ki'ikr, and extend that to other areas. And that's what the Gemara means when it says that even Chatzin is Osir, Hilkuch Lo Asya Mina. I wouldn't have been able to figure out that by Chatos will apply the concept of Tam Ki'ikr. Therefore, these examples of Nozir and Chatos are not Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Keecho. They're not two topics that are identical, having the same principle taught. Therefore, since they are not identical, the principle can be extended from there, namely that Tam Kikr is prohibited to other areas as well. Rabbi Akiva, or Maloch. Now Rabbi Akiva claimed that Nozir and Chatas are Shnei Ksuvim Haboim Kechot with regard to a Heter Mitzdarif L'Isur. He says, did the Torah really have to spell out both areas? Rabbi Akiva, or Maloch, L'mai Tzrifi. What do you mean by saying that they're both necessary? Granted, had the Torah taught me the principle of heter mitzdarif l'isur by chatos, I wouldn't learn from it to nozir, because nozir is the realm of chulin, the common, the mundane. I don't learn the common, the mundane, from kochim, from the area of korbonus. So teaching me Heter Mitzvah Lister by Chatos wouldn't have enabled me to see that as a problem by Nozir. Elo Lichtoiv Rachmona be Nozir. Let the Torah write Heter Mitzvah Lister as it did, word Mishras by Nozir, Vetesi Chatos Mine, and allow me to learn Chatos from Nozir. Da Kol Isurim Shebe Torah Ko Gamri Mi Nozir. Many other aspects of prohibition in the Torah are learned from Nozir. Nozir serves as a basis for other areas of prohibition. Rashi presents the background for that. But for our purposes, let it be stated, as we see here, that if you were to teach a principle by Nozir, we would have been able to extend that to other areas. Why then, if by Nozir the Torah writes Mishras, which according to Rabbi Akiva means Heter Mitzvah L'Isur, why was there any necessity to repeat Heter Mitzvah L'Isur with regard to Chatos? So the fact that it did shows me that it wasn't necessary to state both, and yet it did. That's called Shnei Ksuvim Haboim Ke'echod. And from that, Ein Melamdin, and therefore Heter Mitzarif L'Isur, will be limited to the topic of Nazirus. V'rabbonan amri loch, the Rabbonan will tell you, chatos leheter mitzarf leisur. V'chulin mikotshim lo gamrinan. The topic of chatos really comes to teach me heter mitzarf leisur. Now, I want to point out, we have a situation here that requires more explanation than that we are going to be giving you, and we certainly request we want to apologize for our let's say non further analysis on this particular problem. But the Meforshim deal with issues of Girsos in the Gemara, which we're not going to get into. But this represents a change from what we had mentioned before. The Rabbonon were presented before in the way we explained it, and you can see that explanation in the Rosh, that Chatos was also coming to teach Tam Ki'ikr. At this point, the Rabbonon are presented as saying that Chatos really comes to tell me Leheter Mitzaref Leisor. That the Rabbonon have a concept of Heter Mitzaref Leisor. Now, will it apply to the rest of the Torah? No. V'chulin mikotshim lo gamrinon. I'm not going to learn the idea of Heter Mitzaref Leisor from Chatos to other areas of the Torah, because we don't learn the mundane from sacrifices. Mishras, according to the Rabbonin, as we saw before, Litein Tam Ki'ikir, you don't have any Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echod whatsoever. It's stated only by one topic, by Nozir. Mikan Atodon L'chol Isurin Shabbatorah. And from Mishras, which the Rabbonin tell me is the source of Tam Ki'ikir, I learn Tam Ki'ikir to the rest of the Torah. Rabbi Kiva, Travaihu, Leheter Mitzaref Leisur, Vahavalahu, Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echod. As far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, Chatos and Nozir teach me Heter Mitzaref Leisur. In other words, not just Chatos, like the Rabbanan said, but Nozir also teaches me Heter Mitzaref Leisur, and we have the problem mentioned earlier of Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echod, V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echod, Ein Melamdin. So I will not learn Heter Mitzaref Leisur to the rest of the Torah. What's interesting to note is that the Rabbonin and Rabbi Kiva agree that Heter Mitzaref Leisur is something that is going to be limited. We're not going to learn that principle to the rest of the Torah. According to the Rabbonin, that's because we don't learn Chulin from Kachim. And according to Rabbi Kiva, there is agreement with the Rabbanan that Chatos is here for Heter Mitzaref Leisur. However, in addition to Chatos, you also have Mishras, according to Rabbi Kiva. And hence we have Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echod and Ein Melamdin. Therefore, Heter Mitzaref Leisur, according to Rabbi Kiva, is limited to Nozir. Not like the Rabbanan had said, because of Chulin Mikotshim Lo Yalfinon, but based on Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echod, Ein Melamdin. But what we've just said in the last minute or two basically is that the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan is not a very great machlokus. It basically boils down to sources for the same idea. Omale Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana Eloho Desanya. Now, actually, before we go on, let's glance at the side. We have a no say topic heading. Im benozir amrinon, the heter mitzaref leisur. If this is true, that heter mitzaref leisur applies by nozir, lomo yesh tzorach lilmoid sheisure nozir mitzarfim ze loze. What is the reason that we have to have a special Gzeres HaKosov, a special Torah teaching, that different elements of Isurei Nozir, grape peels with, let's say, grape seeds, both are prohibited. that they join with one another to form an olive quantity. Hare pshitu, that's obvious. If heter is mitzdarf leisur, if something that's permitted joins up with the prohibited to amount to an olive quantity, two prohibited items will certainly join up to create a unit of prohibition. Why go out of my way to teach that? Now the Gemara. Omar le Ravashi le Rav Kana Elaha desanya Mikol asher yasa migefen hayayin mechartzanim va'ad zag. That's the pasuk. Limeid ali surei nozir shehin mitstarfim ze im ze. This teaches me that mitstarfim means joins up. Joins up means to equal a total of one olive quantity of material. The pasuk is telling me that a partial olive quantity of one nozir prohibition joins up with another partial olive quantity of nozir prohibition. We gave the example just before of grape seeds and grape peels that you would, let's say, put together and you would come out with an olive quantity. They join together. And that's learned from this pasuk. What do I need a pasuk to tell me that? Hashto yesh lomar l'Rebbe Akiva heter mitzdaref l'isur. If according to Rabbi Akiva, you learn by nozir that permitted material joins up with the prohibited, isur l'isur mibaya, two prohibited items, do I need to tell you that they join up? If something permitted joins up with the isur to create prohibition, certainly two prohibited items will join together. Omar Leis, Rav Kahana answers, Heter le'isur bevasachas. That we say, the bread soaked in wine, and you have a total olive quantity, you have a total of an olive quantity. That is prohibited, but only if he puts the soaked bread in his mouth, and as he puts the heter with the isur in his mouth at the same time. We gave one example, but you can give other examples of heter with isur. You would have to put them in your mouth at the same time in order to be in violation. Isur le'isur afilu boze acharze. If you have, let's say, a half olive quantity of grape seeds, and within a few moments you put a half olive quantity of grape peels, they will join up to create a prohibition. If you look in the Rashi, you can see this at the bottom, second line from the bottom, Omar le heter mitzdarf le'isur kishenosna b'fiv b'vasachas, when you put them in your mouth at the same time. Avol bozeh achar zeh lo, but if it's one after the other, they won't join up. Avol isur le'isur afilu ochal chatzi zayas uboloi, if you ate a half olive quantity of grape peels. V'chozar v'ochal chatzi zayas shel isur achar. And then after you ate the grape skins, the half olive quantity of grape skins, and swallowed it, you ate another half olive quantity of grape seeds. Hareza mitzdarf. They will join together to constitute a violation. We continue in the Gemara. A question. The Rebbe Shimon, we continue at the top of the Aflamid Ches. The less lay siruf. According to Rabbi Shimon, he has a principle that you find in many areas of the Torah, that in order to, let us say, be in violation and warrant receiving lashings, the consumption of even a negligible amount results in violation, resulting in malchus. Mikol ashiyase mai dorish bei, the pasuk that we just saw at the bottom of Lamed Zayin Beis, what does he learn from it? The Rabbanon learned the concept of joining together to create a minimum quantity. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't have this concept of a minimum quantity. And you don't need a minimum quantity. Even a negligible amount constitutes a violation. So what does he learn from that pasuk? Omar loch hahu miboyale. He needs that pasuk to teach me the following. Le'olam eino nozir ad sheyozir mikulon. This is a point we've seen much earlier in the Masechta, that a person who accepts upon himself a Nazir's vow, either he says, I want to be a Nazir, that will bind him, or if he says, I want to be a Nazir from grapes, and he starts to itemize the Nazir's restrictions, the foods, the items that are prohibited by a Nazir, he will have to enumerate all of them. Either you say, in other words, it's like all or nothing. Either you say, I want to be a Nazir without itemizing, but once you start itemizing, you will not be bound unless you list all of the prohibited items. And that's what he learns from the Pasuk. Omer Rabbi Avo, Omer Rabbi Lozer. Notice this firebox, and we have a note on the side under the Mivneh, Simun Zem Yuad Litzor Kesher Im Rabbi Yechanan Liel Amet Hamid Beis. And here we're at the tail end of a long shiur, which began with Rabbi Avo citing Rabbi Yochanan. Here, Rabbi Avo cites Rabbi Lozer. And we'll see the comparison and the contrast momentarily. What does Rabbi Lozer say? Kol Raviyah Shebetorah in Heter Mitzaraf Leisur, Chutz Miraviyah Shebenozir. In all other areas of the Torah where liquids are measured in terms of a revius, we will not say combination of heter with isur to create a revius of prohibition. Again, revius is a liquid measure. Rashi gives examples. Kol revius shebetor, Rashi says on the third narrow line, kagon revius dam, shemetame boyel, a revius of blood from the dead, creates death, defilement to the dead in the same chamber or under the same overshadowing. Ein heter mitzaref lisa shein echad mikol hamashkin mitzaref imo le gomroi le revius. If let us say you have a partial of a revius, part revius of dam, and the balance in terms of apple juice, it will not constitute a revius of dam. Chutz revius shel nozir v'chulei. And that's what Rabbi Lozer is telling us now in the Gemara, where he says, Chutz mirvius shebenozir sharei omra toira mishras. So you see that Rabbi Lozer uses mishras, also limiting to nazirus, the concept of heter mitztaref leisur. The Gemara asks, "My iko bein Rabbi Yochanan the Rebbe Lozer. What's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan, who appeared on Lamed Hamid Beis, and Rebbe Lozer over here? They both cite Mishras, both saying Heter Mitzaref Leisur, both saying limited to Nazir. What's the difference? Iko binayhu. There is a difference. To Rabbi Yochanan, marbi afilu oichlin." Rabbi Yochanan includes even food substances. Rabbi Elozer, mashkinin, midiachrino lo Rabbi Elozer, is limited to liquids, but not anything else. The Rashi, across from here, there's a star you might see in that we've put into the Rashi. Let's read it. The Rabbi Yochanan, marbi leinami oichlim shebenozir. The food items that you find in Nazirus Kagon, Chartzon, Vizag, V'onov, Shemitzdarv, Dover, Achri, Mon, Bekazayas. Let's say you have less than an olive quantity of grape seeds, and you put that onto a cracker. And altogether, the cracker with the grape seeds, you'll have an olive quantity. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that would be a violation for the Nazir. According to Rabbi Lozer, no. There's a note in the Tosfos that Dibur Masla Afilu Oichlin Marbi. We just down a few lines, and this we said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan Mishum de Mishras. The word Mishras for Rabbi Yochanan Mashmam Mipas Umiayin. The word mishkan is something soaked in. That implies a bread is being soaked in the wine. Usvir Rabbi Yochanan duadim kol isurei nazir. And Rabbi Yochanan figures from that to all other areas, kagon chartzon vizag. Rabbi Lozer Svirulei de mishras mashma davka yayin. Vehecha de goli goli. According to Tosfos's explanation, Rabbi Lozer, it seems that he agrees with the idea of soaking of the bread in wine, but only in that case. In other words, the idea of mashkin only, not the combination of two oichlin that Rabbi Yochanan would have been mechayev. I'm not sure that Rashi is learning the same way as the Tosfos is concerning the soaking of the bread in the wine, or does Rabbi Lozer limit it to the combination of two liquids? That needs further analysis. But for our purposes, as you can see, we've been involved with basically one topic since Daf Lamed Hem with Beis until this point. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.